Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
Well, we know one of the biggest races in our listening area is going to be the race for the next Stamford mayor. And joining us now is one of the candidates who has a very strong campaign, and that is Representative Caroline Simmons here this morning. Caroline, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here. How are you?
Thank you, Melissa. Good. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. If people don't know a lot about, not even your campaign, just you, your political background, could you share a little bit this morning?
Sure. And so glad to be with you. I am a mom of two boys and a legislator and an advocate. And I've spent most of my career in public service. I started out working at the Department of Homeland Security, working on counterterrorism initiatives, and spent some time overseas in the Middle East, and then moved back home in 2013 to get involved in government and to give back at the local level. And so I served in the state legislature since 2014 as a state representative from Stamford. And I currently serve as co-chair of the Commerce Committee, as well as on the Higher Education and Human Services Committee.
What would you say, Representative Simmons, what would you say are some of the biggest, accomplishments that you're really proud of since being a state rep here in Connecticut?
Sure. Well, I'm most proud of, in my time on the Commerce Committee, we've worked really hard to champion small businesses and entrepreneurs. And instead of giving big corporate tax cuts to the big corporations, we've really shifted our whole approach to supporting small businesses and revitalizing our main streets and downtowns, and really helping entrepreneurs make it easier to start a business in Connecticut. So I helped launch the Entrepreneur Learner's Permit program to get rid of all fees and startup costs associated with starting a business. And we've launched the Angel Investor Tax Credit program to help small businesses get access to capital, in particular, have helped support women and minority-owned businesses. And we've also expanded the Small Business Express program to help support startups and small businesses across our state, because we know small businesses create 2/3 of all new jobs. They're so invested in our local community. They hire locally, and especially amidst this pandemic, we're working hard to help our small businesses get through this difficult time.
And we're talking this morning with Caroline Simmons. She has said she is going to run for Stamford mayor. And, so I'm horrible at math, Caroline. All my listeners know. It just is never my strong point. But if I'm doing the math correctly, you have served the city of Stamford now for 7 years, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So why Stamford? Like, what does Stamford mean to you? Why are you so passionate to serve this community?
I absolutely love this city. I feel so blessed to get to live here, and my two babies were born here at Stamford Hospital. I fell in love with my husband here in Stamford, and this community just means so much to me, and I've been so honored to get to represent my constituents in the legislature for the past 8 years. It's such a wonderful city full of people from all over the world. Over 30% of our population is foreign born, and it's an incredibly diverse, enriching place to live. But I feel that we have not been maximizing our potential as a city. And so many people I talk to feel that their voices haven't been heard and that the city is becoming increasingly out of reach for them. It's becoming too expensive and it's not representing their values. And so I'm really running so that we can, not only help our city recover from this pandemic, but also help our city take it to the next level and maximize our potential and become one of the best cities in the country to live in and to raise a family in, to start a business in. And I really believe Stamford can be the shining city in Connecticut. We have so much to offer and so much potential, and I'm ready to work collaboratively and tirelessly for the people of Stamford to help our city get there.
Caroline Simmons, I'm just curious, could you almost dive into that a little bit deeper? Like, when you say you've heard from some of the residents in Stamford, what are maybe some specific things that they're saying their voices aren't being heard on in Stamford?
Sure. So the top thing I hear is, in terms of constituent services, and one of the most important jobs we have as government leaders is to serve our constituents and to listen to their voices and to help fix their problems. And 40% of people in Stamford say that the government does not do a good job of responding to their needs. And so everything from, if you have a pothole in your street or an issue in your child's school, you should be able to reach out to your local government officials, to City Hall, and get an answer the same day. So I would guarantee same-day constituent responses. I would launch an office of neighborhood support and reach out to all different neighborhoods across Stamford to better support their needs. And I would also work to make our city more affordable and more livable. I think so many people feel like they're getting priced out and that they don't have a strong quality of life in Stamford. And so those would be some of the initiatives that I would work on.
So, Caroline, I'm curious, you know, why now? Like, what sort of prompted you to run for mayor now?
So really, it has been the pandemic. Over the past year and a half, I've heard from so many constituents who've been struggling, people who have lost their job and had to file for unemployment, people who have, you know, been infected with COVID. Tragically, constituents have died from COVID. So many students and teachers are struggling with mental health and lost time in the classroom. And I think we're at an opportune moment right now where the world has changed. The future of work has changed. The future of cities has changed. And I believe that we need to capitalize on this moment and that we can't go back to the same old, same old. And we need to come together and think creatively about innovative solutions to tackle these problems that existed prior to the pandemic, but now have been exacerbated by the pandemic. Mm. And so everything from the now $500 million mold problem we have in our schools and the public health issue that has caused, and our crumbling infrastructure, our train station and our roads that need to be fixed. You know, fixing issues like that, making our Stamford schools the best that they can, creating a world-class education for every child, no matter what zip code they live in. And these issues can't be tackled with the same old bickering and dysfunction that we've seen in our government. I think we need real unifying, collaborative approach and innovative solutions and working together with new ideas to tackle these problems.
Mm-hmm. And last question, Caroline Simmons, thank you so much for your time this morning. I was, you know, curious. Look, I think if this, you know, the run for Stamford mayor, I think recently became almost like a Hollywood headline. I hate to say it that way, but you've got Bobby Valentine, who's thrown his hat in the race. You have the incumbent mayor who has been, you know, an exemplary, I would say, used as an example during the pandemic for like the vaccine rollout and the testing sites and things like that. What, you know, is going to have your, what's going to make your campaign stand out? What's going to have you stand, you know, ahead of where Bobby Valentine, his popularity, you know, his campaign, and then even, you know, the support that David Martin has right now? What is going to give you that defining chance to become the next mayor?
Yeah, and I'm certainly looking forward to a spirited debate. And I think it's a really good thing for our democracy that we have multiple candidates running. I think what will make our campaign stand out is we are all about the people and doing what's best for Stamford people and Stamford families. And we're working hard to build a diverse coalition of young people, of diverse people as part of our campaign, with energizing, creative, new ideas, things like making our city carbon neutral by 2030, you know, reducing our unemployment rate in half in the first 5 years, fixing our train station, launching a Stamford Service Corps to get young people involved in public works projects across our city. And so I think bringing this collaborative, unifying, energizing approach with our campaign, going out there and listening to people and really making this campaign all about the people and doing what's best for the people is what we're focused on and what we're hopeful will help in the end.
Mm-hmm. No, and Caroline Simmons, I'm so glad that we were able to share your platform here on the show. I would love to have you back on the air really soon. I was telling some of the other candidates that I think in the fall, probably in September, we're going to do a live debate here on the show for some of the biggest races. And of course, Stamford mayor's race is included. And I would love to have you back on the show if you're open to it.
Absolutely. Would love to come back. And thank you so much for having me, Melissa. It's been great chatting with you. And thanks so much for having me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Again, that is Representative Caroline Simmons here.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help.
Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
You have an interesting topic today, Julius, and one that I think is going to open up a lot of people's minds. Vulnerability. Why are you picking that today?
Hi, Melissa. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think vulnerability is something that a lot of people struggle with, and they tend to keep things bottled up. And when you keep things bottled up, it tends to leak out in other, many times, forms of negative behavior. So the more vulnerable you are, the more, and by vulnerability, I'm talking about letting people in to who you are as a person. And a lot of people don't like to do that. They want to, you know, they keep their cards to the chest. And I'm not saying you should air your dirty laundry to everybody, But I'm saying that I think people many times are not aware of the power of being vulnerable in a relationship.
Yeah, and how dangerous it can be when you're not vulnerable. You know, I would say, Julius, only because I was married to someone. I am married to someone, I should say. But I was, you know, I had someone who was very, very, this was hard for him. My husband struggled with vulnerability for a very long time because he was raised that being vulnerable shows weakness. And right. I think a lot of people feel that way. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure. Yeah, but see, by definition, I think... Vulnerability means you're susceptible or you're open, whereas weakness is a state of condition. In other words, mm-hmm. weakness is lacking strength. But vulnerability is you're simply opening yourself up to attack, but you're secure enough in yourself to be able to say, hey, that's okay, because this is who I am, and this is the way I'm wired, and I accept myself. And that's one of the reasons why I think many have difficulty with being vulnerable. They just don't accept themselves as who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to a feeling of unsatisfaction.
Counselor,
but, you know, many.
Oh, I was going to say, Counselor Julius Dudix is here. And I was curious, Julius, where did that idea come from? That being vulnerable, opening up, sharing your feelings, like that stems from generations ago where, especially with men, you shouldn't do that. Like, why? Why did that start so long ago?
It's a great question. Yeah, there are a lot of obstacles that make it hard for people to be vulnerable, stemming from it could be past experiences and trauma. It could be our fear of not belonging, lack of self-awareness, gendered expectations that have been passed down from generation to generation, lack of self-awareness. And I think there's a myth out there that vulnerability is a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that. I think vulnerability can be such a sign of strength because you open yourself up to other people, then they feel comfortable opening themselves up to you and the relationship grows deeper. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Yeah. The other thing too, Julius, which was something that really struck a chord with my husband, at least when he was starting to go through this process of why it was important to be vulnerable. A lot of times we focus on how vulnerability is so healthy for you, for ourselves. You know, we look at the me part of this. But I think the thing that struck my husband when we were talking about the importance was I said, you know, sometimes that's kind of selfish for you to feel like you should keep it to yourself when there are people out there who would feel very inspired by your story, your struggles, whatever you went through. And I think that kind of hit him because I think my husband might be one of the most selfless people I've ever met in my life. But, you know, when he would keep things to himself, like his past or, you know, the brokenness that he had or whatever he was feeling. I said, you know, not only are you holding it from yourself, but you're holding it from other people who could benefit from what you've gone through.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. We comfort others with the comfort that we've received in life a mm-hmm. lot of times. And when we don't do that, it can be even a form of selfishness. But there are so many who can learn from your story. I look at Prince Harry. You know, I don't want to get political at all, but I really respect what he's doing in trying to deal with a father who's been emotionally abused for years. It doesn't have to go from generation to generation to generation. So he's taking a step of courage and he's saying, hey, listen, this can stop here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much positive. It's like putting each other's needs above your own needs.
Yeah.
When you're vulnerable, you're looking out for the other person and you're giving them opportunity to get in touch with who they are. So it's such a strong concept. Yeah,
it is. And I think that it also, when you hold back, it can really hurt marriages, your relationship with your children, your relationship with your family, your colleagues, your friends, anything. I think when you're holding something so deep because of fear of being weak versus addressing it, it actually could be more harmful. And again, we're talking to our morning show counselor, Julius Dudix. So, Julius, how do you even get started? If you are someone who's buttoned up, how do you start to peel back those layers of the onion and show your vulnerability?
Yeah, that's a great question. You've got to start by sitting down and saying, who am I as an individual, number one? You know, again, experiencing God's incredible love for you allows you to love yourself to a greater degree. But then ask yourself, why do I feel the way I feel? Why is it so hard for me to open up? Is it what happened in my environment growing up, or is it just simply my DNA that causes me to be a little more reserved and a little less vulnerable? But why do I feel the way I feel? And that's a whole process of self-reflection that can really cause personal growth. Once you begin to ask that question, why do I feel the way I feel? Why aren't I as vulnerable? First of all, do you even recognize it? Because some people don't even realize that they have difficulty being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And that's an issue right there. You've got to be able to, first of all, see what you're trying to deal with so you can, again, grow as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
But I think vulnerability is so powerful, Melissa. I think the more we're open and honest we are with ourselves, with each other, I believe that that's a step toward relational growth, relational healing. And I believe a lot of times we're just not satisfied with who we are as an individual. We're not comfortable. We don't love ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's another issue right there.
Mm-hmm. Julius Dudix, who's our morning show counselor, if anybody wants to reach out to you and just be able to get your advice on some of these things, how do they reach you?
Yeah, they can contact me at 203-243-7714. You can read about me on Facebook, LinkedIn, or www.barkbark.com.
All right. Julius Dudix, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Melissa, thanks for all you do. You keep at it.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk soon. Well, there happens to be a lot of things you're going to want to know about happening today in Ansonia. So who better to talk to about this than Mayor David Cassetti, who's here right now. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing?
Well, you know, we're doing just fine. Thank you so much, Mayor Cassetti. Now,
good.
I heard this morning Griffin Health is actually going to be hosting 3 days worth of free walk-up COVID clinics in Ansonia starting today. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We have 2 more vaccination dates scheduled for the Armory, and they're also doing these walk-ups at the Nolan Field complex for the next few days. And we've already vaccinated over 2,700 people in the city of Ansonia. So we're moving ahead with that. Yes.
Wow. That's fantastic. Yeah. Griffin kind of breaking down that I think the one at Nolan Field today does start at 10 until 3. And if you are 12 and older, you can go to get the vaccine. But I think you need an adult if you're up to 17 years old.
You have to have an adult if you're under 16. You have to come with an adult.
Okay. Now, the other thing I'm hearing about Mayor Cassetti at Nolan Field today is there another food pickup event?
Yes, there's a food drive today at Nolan Field, and we also have a second spot over at the Abundant Life Church on North Main Street for the people in the lower wards and on the north end to get their food there.
Okay, so they could. Is it a drive-up thing? They come with their cars?
Yeah, it's a drive-up, and then it's a drive-up. You drive your car up, you open up your trunk, and we put it right inside for you.
All right, fantastic. Well, we appreciate
that. Everything's going good. I also want to let you know that we're having our summer festival on July 10th. We're going to have 10 bands up at Nolan Field for Rock the Valley, the Beatles cover band, and Aerosmith cover band, and a few other name brands are going to be there, but we got 10 bands scheduled for it, along with our summer concert here in the park.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yep.
Also heard Mayor Cassetti through the grapevine that, you know, we're only days away. Is your Memorial Day parade coming back, or is the Memorial Day?
No, this year we're going to have a smaller version of the parade.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start with the military and the police and fire department driving from Nolan Field to Veterans Park, where we'll have a small ceremony.
Oh, cool.
Next year we'll bring it back big.
Okay. All right. But that's still really exciting. Yep. I'm excited for that. And it sounds like, you know, not too far away. I think there's the Derby Shelton Memorial Day Parade. I think that is happening, I believe.
Yeah, the Derby Shelton Parade and the Seymour Parades are happening on Monday.
Okay. We're talking this morning to Mayor David Cassetti out of Ansonia this morning. What else did you want to say, Mayor Cassetti? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I wanted to let you know that yesterday Main Street was blocked off because we had 6 tractor trailer loads of steel studding for our new apartments that are underway. They're the 400 luxury apartments that we're going to be putting in. The steel studs came in for the framing of all the apartments and everything. So everything is looking bright. Everything's looking very good. And the motel deal is dead.
I was just going to ask. Yay. Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, Mayor Cassetti, you read my mind. First of all, my God, you are we're in the same
motel
brave.
Is dead. Our town planner really presented it very well. and the planning and zoning voted on it, and they knocked it down.
Okay, so this was something that you, the police chief, I mean, a lot of people were against this. Can you actually just kind of reiterate, what was the proposal?
They wanted to put up see, originally when they came to me, they told me they wanted to put up a hotel, which I thought was like a, you know, not a Holiday Inn, but one of them big hotels that they were going to put up here. Then they changed to a motel, which I did not want, along with a gas station. And we have a gas station about 100 yards away, so I didn't think that would be a good idea to put a motel there up at the 557 Wakely Avenue.
And it sounded like in last night's meeting, they also brought up a point which, you know, we had not discussed on the air, but that where this was going to be was actually near a playground and also some of the fields as well.
Yes, there was, the town planner did reiterate that it's near a playground with in 100 yards away, and it wouldn't be safe for the kids there. So that was one of the reasoning why they knocked it down.
Okay, so that's nixed. It's not happening. That's official.
Right.
Okay. Right. That's big news. That's really big news. So what do you want to do with that site?
Well, I got to tell you something. That could be a banquet hall, Melissa. That we need a banquet hall in Ansonia where we have parties and stuff like that. And that's what it really needs to be. It's like a banquet hall that serves a couple hundred people. And that's what it was before that. And that's what it really needs to be.
I mean, what do people think about that? I think that's a great
idea. They're in agreement to that. I mean, it can't just sit dormant like it's been sitting. Yeah. There's so much potential there for a banquet hall, and that's what I'm hoping to have there.
Do you know if any, like, developers, Mayor Cassetti, anybody shown interest in that idea?
Yes, there's quite a few people that are looking at it now with the owner, Jerry Nocerino, to see what they can get it for.
Okay. Mayor Cassetti, you're going to tell me first, right? You're going to tell me if you end up turning it into a banquet hall?
Oh, of course I will. That's what we want.
No, that's very exciting. No, that would be great. Yep. Really quickly, before I let you go, Mayor Cassetti, you said that they're clearly breaking down. They're starting to get just the foundation in for those apartments. Have they opened up the availability to rent any of those apartments yet? I know, obviously, it hasn't been constructed, but...
I am meeting with the developers next week to find out how we're opening them up for people to purchase or to rent these apartments. We're probably out a month or two before that because he doesn't plan on having the first and second floors done until around October, November.
Okay.
So he will be taking applications. I will definitely be letting you know. And the other thing is Olson Drive looks like it's coming our way. That's that 8 acres of land that I want to put that sports complex in. That looks like in the next few weeks it's going to be turned over to the city, and then we could give it to the developer for his sports complex that we're going to put there for indoor football, baseball, and soccer.
That all sounds great to me. Mayor David Cassetti, always a pleasure to get all the inside scoop about Ansonia, and thank you again this morning for giving us the latest. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. And checking in now with Fran Mako of AAA. Good morning, Fran. We've got a very busy travel weekend coming up. How are you?
Yes, we do. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I love having you on the show, Fran. So first of all, before we get into today's topic, which is the 100 deadliest days for teens, I did want to ask you what we're looking at with trends. I didn't know if anything changed for AAA with their reports, because I noticed personally with the mask mandate sort of going away for not only our state, but many other surrounding states, I've noticed a lot of people who were going to stay local are leaving, or vice versa. People who planned on traveling are now not comfortable doing that. So have any of your figures changed for Memorial Day weekend travel?
Well, people are traveling. They can't wait to get out. They're really itching. There's about 37 million people nationally that are traveling this holiday. It's higher than it was last year.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But lower than it was in 2019. But people are itching. The good thing is most folks, we did an informal survey, an informal online survey, and 85% said that they will travel between now and the fall. They're planning some kind of vacation because they've been vaccinated. So many people are not going anywhere until they are vaccinated, but the majority of folks are. So out of that 37 million, about 34 million, that's a pretty high percentage, are going to be on the road. So most people are still taking road trips. They're still comfortable in their cars. And again, Memorial Day has always been, you know, a family road trip type of vacation.
Yeah.
So people are itching to get out.
Okay.
They are.
All right.
You're going to see a lot of folks on the road this holiday.
Yeah. Well, I think that leads perfectly into today's topic, which is the 100 deadliest days for teens on the roads. And of course, we're talking about the stretch between Memorial Day and Labor Day weekend. So Fran Mako with AAA, what do you guys find? What's some of the data to sort of support this idea of the 100 deadliest days on the roads?
Okay. Like you said, it starts on Memorial Day, it runs through Labor Day, and this is the period of time when motorists, drivers, not only teens, drivers are more likely to be injured or killed in a crash involving a teen driver. For example, in Connecticut, we found that 2020, we have seen the highest number of fatal crashes in the year 2020, a total of nine. People died where 16 and 17-year-olds were involved in a crash.
Wow.
And summer is very tough for teen drivers, especially now because, you know, schools will be out, days are longer, kids like older folks are itching to get out and about. And now that the COVID restrictions are relaxed, you're going to see a lot more kids on the road because they want to socialize with friends.
Yeah, now pause for a second, Fran. So first of all, when you say that Connecticut saw the highest number in 2020, highest what, like in the last 10 years or like when?
I'm sorry, I should have qualified that. Yes, since 2008.
Okay, so, I mean, that's a very long stretch. You're talking about in 12 years, that's the highest we've seen. And what I find ironic about that, Fran, is literally no one was on the roads. Like in the pandemic, I shouldn't say no one, but you know what I'm saying. Like a significant drop off of traffic happened during the pandemic.
However, the folks that were on the roads, they were speeding.
True.
They were reckless. They were doing reckless driving.
Mm-hmm.
They were breaking the rules, so to speak. And even though there's less people on the road, you know, you're putting yourself at greater risk.
We had more dangerous drivers. Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And because kids are young and they're just inexperienced behind the wheel, they can get themselves in trouble on the road. And unfortunately, it usually involves other drivers. We found there are more daily deaths nationwide in crashes involving teens during the summer than the rest of the year, with June being the top month. Because, again, it's the start of summer and everybody's itching to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So the only advice, let me preface this first. To call attention to the 100 deadliest days, we're launching a summer-long social media campaign. And if you go to our AAA Facebook page, every day there is going to be a little reminder of what a parent or a teen could do or some factoid that raises the profile of the 100th deadliest days. There will be some live Facebook events, just some postings. You can also go to AAA.com/deadliest days, all one word. There's information there. It's all going to start on May 31st. I've been in the house too long, you know.
Well, that's okay. I understand. I totally get it.
We encourage parents to encourage their teens to stay focused, to comply with Connecticut's graduated driving restrictions. And I know it's an inconvenient if your 16 or 17-year-old has his or her license right away. You know, you want them to drive the younger kids around, but according to Connecticut's GDL, they can't have passengers until the next 6 months of the year. And that it is an inconvenient, but it's safer for the kid.
It is.
There's curfews to comply with until you reach 18. We want you to be a role model. Educate the teens on dangers of impaired driving, especially now with marijuana.
Yes.
Alcohol used to be the drug of choice among younger kids. It's really marijuana. So So, I mean, these are all things that have to be considered to keep the child safe and others safe on the road.
Yeah. And Fran Mako, what is your website again? If people want to learn more, they want to maybe get some tips and have these conversations with their kids.
You can go to AAA.com/deadliestdays, all one word, or check out the AAA Northeast Facebook page. Just go to Facebook, type AAA Northeast, and, you know, there's an events calendar, and depending on, you know, if you want to check it every day, there's tips and resources, and we have experts that will be conducting Facebook Live events.
Oh, cool. Okay, awesome.
So
awesome. Yeah, be sure to check that out. Again, when Fran says AAA, type out AAA. Don't write AAA. Yeah. I've made that mistake plenty of times. I've made that mistake so many times, so I try to always remind people. Yeah, so it's AAA when she says that, just so you know. Fran, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
on.
You.
Have a happy Memorial Day weekend.
You too. Take care now.
Thank you. You too.